But anyway, I'm thrilled that you're here tonight. Thank you for coming, being a part. Monday night church. Pastors are afraid of Monday night church because they don't know who's going to show up. And normally the heathen show up, and that happened again tonight too. I can see that. And I'm thrilled that you're here. Always good to be in church. Flew out this morning early, and we went straight from Oklahoma City to Charlotte, North Carolina. We were coming in for landing into Charlotte, and you could hear the landing gears coming down. I could feel everything's moving down. Then all of a sudden, the pilot powered that thing full forward. You hear the wheels go up. All of a sudden, they're doing this. They're pulling up and turning it to the side. I'm thinking, well, something's going on out there. And we're in clouds, so you couldn't really see much. And you know, the pilots never let you know what they're doing while they're doing all that. It's after your heart stops, you know, and they're resurrecting you from the dead. It was nothing serious. But anyway, yeah, I think there was something on the runway. Otherwise, everything was good until I went to lunch and Brother David showed up. But otherwise, everything was good. And I've always enjoyed coming here and being a part of this church. This church has a special place in my heart. I love your pastor and his family. And you folks and what you do, thank you so much for standing for the truth. You know, a lot has changed in the last couple of years. A lot. We find out what people are made of. We find out who has fear, who has faith. We find out who's going to use something as an excuse to stop. You find out a lot of things. And of course, you guys, your state's just a little bit different than mine. I'm in a free state. I'm just letting y'all know. God's been good to us. And I remember I called your pastor. I said, how's it going? Because I know what your governor's like. And I didn't know how you all were being affected way back. You know, you're a little bit set back. That's good for you guys. And that way nobody can kind of see what we're doing back here. And that's always a good thing. My church is about one street back from a main street. So they can't quite see us, what we're doing. So when they shut everything down, they said, you know, no longer on the inside. So we had parking lot church, and we'd rent a Ryder truck every Sunday. I'd stand in the back of the Ryder truck. Now, you have to understand something about Oklahoma City. You can have about 20 seasons in one day. I mean, it's cold in the morning, hot at night, comfortable in the afternoon, back hot, then cold. And so one Sunday night, I was dying inside that truck. Just sun was right here, just staring right at me. I couldn't see the cars. They were there, and I would preach. I was dying the next Sunday night because I was trying to make everything seem normal. I was not going to put on a jacket. I was not going to, you know, y'all know me. My church thinks I go to sleep like this, and I wake up like this, and I wasn't going to change. Next Sunday night, Sunday morning it was fine. Sunday night, temperature dropped. It was 29 degrees in the back of that truck, and I was not going to put an overcoat on. And I preached sucking in that cold air. I felt it for 2 days in my chest. And we went a couple weeks without seeing people saved and baptized. I finally called my men in, and I said, guys, this is not going to happen. We're in too big of a town. We've got 1.4 million people in our area that we can reach. And so you have to understand it's a little bit different than Madison. I know y'all don't figure that out, but 1.4 million, you can find somebody that wants to get saved. And I told my church, I said, COVID's not an excuse not to go soul winning. I said, hell's fire still burns. And I said, we've got to go reach some people for Christ. I said, better not be another week that we don't see people saved and baptized. From that point forward, God has just put his hand on the church. And I can't explain it to you. Just been amazing. I told him, we're going to have a big day in the parking lot. I said, I don't know how long we're going to be in this parking lot. I said, but we're going to have a bring another car Sunday. I said, now I don't want the church members to bring in their second car. Every family brings one car, but you got to invite another family to bring their car to come to church. And we had well over, I think we had 130 cars show up that Sunday morning. We were giving away a Swaddley's barbecue. In our area, Swaddley's barbecue is big. A $25 gift certificate. Man, they came and it was worth it. Saw people saved and saw people baptized. And God's been good. And I'm excited about your church and what you're still going for the Lord. And let's not stop. And I mean that. And trust me, your pastor and I were talking about it today. America's in trouble. And I'm not talking Washington, D.C. I'm talking churches. Washington, D.C. will never save our nation. Never. It's always going to happen inside the local New Testament Baptist church. That's where it's going to happen. And if we don't get our churches going again, and trust me when I say this, churches are closing down. There's the pastors that were called when I was young, they're getting to that age of starting to either health or retiring, and they're and pulpits are being left empty. And we've got to do something. And you've got a great church here. Let's not stop. Let's keep going forward. And everybody, get a vision for God. Wouldn't it be good that the Green family would? I don't know if you have a Green family here, but the Green family is no longer going to show up. You say, what do you mean? Fill it up with people. Every seat in here, fill it up with people. In my church, I think I've said that, have I pastored since I've been here yet? Oh yeah, we had red pews, and we replaced the red carpet, and now we pack out the red pews. I don't see the red family anymore, and you all have the Green family. I have the red family, so together we could be a good Christmas church. But anyway, let's get a vision for the Lord, and there's people here that will come. We ran into someone today at the restaurant, and the pastor just said, he just says, "Is there anything I could pray with you about?" And the waitress just started crying. I mean, just literally, just started crying. I didn't realize I was that ugly, but she just started crying. And he says, "Can I help you?" And she goes, "It's too much." And come to find out, her grandfather used to come to this church years ago, and she's just going through some tough times. People are hurting, and we've got the answer. Amen. I'm thrilled to be here. Take your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37. We're going to start reading in verse 1 this evening. Isaiah chapter 37. And in verse 1, I want to help the church tonight. I don't know why God wanted me to preach this sermon tonight, and you'll understand when I say that, when I give you the title, but I want to help us tonight. Life happens to all. And because life happens to all, we've always got to understand, I've got to respond in the right way when life happens. Isaiah chapter 37, let's all stand as we read the word of God. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 1. If you have it, can you give me a good strong amen? Amen. Scripture says in verse 1, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, and as Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth. There is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, I'm going to stop right there. I want to take these 15 verses, and we're going to kind of use the chapter, the kind of the whole chapter. I want to stop right there. And tonight I want to speak on this subject, responding to bad news and tragedy. Responding to bad news and tragedy. Anybody who's at least my age at some points had bad news come. Anybody that's my age at least has had tragedy happen to them. Now, how do we respond? What do we do when that bad news and tragedy comes? I want to talk to you about that tonight. Father, allow me to be a help to your church. These are good people. They're here on Monday night, but Lord, I've always been amazed how even good people many times respond wrong to the bad news and tragedy that life sends their way. And God, I'm asking you tonight, Holy Ghost of God, come down. Lord, allow me to be a help to your people, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hezekiah had bad news and potential tragic news when he was king there of Judah. The king of Assyria had come and tried to invade the land. But because as he came, God protected Hezekiah, there's wars that broke out. And he went back, he heard of the wars, and he went to go fight off those wars. And he sent a messenger back and says, now you tell Hezekiah, just because I've left doesn't mean that I'm not coming back. I am coming back. And he says, and that God who you trust, he says, now, no God has ever won against us. He says, you look at all the kings that tried to take me down. And he says, none of them are standing today. And he said, don't let your God deceive you. He says, because I'm coming back and I will conquer your land. Everything that this king had said was true, but one thing. He forgot that the God of Hezekiah was the true God. You see, as long as you have God on your side, you're always on the winning side. It doesn't matter how bad life is. I'm glad I serve Jehovah God, who's an all-powerful God. And it doesn't matter what the gods of the world are going to say about us and the threats that they bring our way. I thank God I serve an omnipotent God who can say I can make their gods look foolish and I can bring down the powerful to show that I'm still God and I can do what I say I can do. Hezekiah got the tragic news. Hezekiah got the bad news, and he says, "What?" And he didn't even think about it. First thing he did is he ran to God. He said, God, everything that this king has said is true. He says, we need your help. Do you understand? Had Hezekiah responded wrong, it could have affected his whole nation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that if he wouldn't have done the right thing, little children might have lost a mom and dad? Those little children could have been killed. Do you understand that his nation could have been destroyed had he not responded in the right way? But Hezekiah did respond right. Hezekiah did do the right thing. And thank God that when bad news came, Hezekiah gave us an example of how to respond to bad news. Listen to me very carefully. Everybody will have bad news and tragedy. I'll say that one more time. Everybody will have bad news and tragedy happen in their life. You say it's never happened to me, then hang on, because it's going to come. I don't care who it is. Whenever I marry a young couple, I'm excited for the marriage, but preacher, there's always a spot inside my heart as I sit there and watch them walk down the aisle, I'm wedded and excited about life ahead of them. I always stand on the platform and I look at that couple and I think to myself, oh, I wonder what heartache they're going to face. What's the tragedy that's going to happen to them? And I don't mean to be negative of life, but I've been through life long enough to know that everybody faces bad news and tragedy. But listen to me, you may not be able to control the bad news that happens in your life, but you can control how you respond to the bad news and tragedy. I cannot control death, but I can control how I respond to death. I cannot control sickness, but I can control how I respond to sickness. I cannot control when a child goes wayward, but I can control how I respond when a child goes wayward. I cannot control the finances of life, but I can control how I respond to the finances of life. I cannot control the bad news that happens inside of life, but thank God, God's given me a will inside of me that can respond right. I can do right. Doesn't matter what the bad news is. I have a choice to do right even when bad news comes my way. You see, everybody will have bad news and tragedy. But may I say this, your bad news and tragedy, your response to bad news and tragedy always affects others. I look at your pastor. He's got several family members here. If he responds wrong to bad news and tragedy, it affects his family. Not only does it affect his family, it affects you, his church. Not only does it affect his church, but it affects whoever his church influences. Do you understand how we respond? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. You say, but preacher, I don't really affect anybody. You never know your influence until you fall into sin. But everybody influences somebody. And your response and the greatest testimony that we can have is when bad news comes, tragedy comes, and those who are watching us see how we respond in those times. When we respond in those times, listen to me, that's when they look at us and say, what they have is real. What they have is genuine. They don't stop right now. You see, I cannot control the bad news, but I can control how I respond to the bad news, and I better respond right because my response always affects others. Can I say this? What you do when it happens determines what will happen in your future. How you respond to bad news and tragedy really dictates what God can do through you. Now you say, preacher, so what do I do when bad news and tragedy comes? I just want to tell you some things I tell my church. Number one, keep going to church. Keep going to church. When you look at this, the first place Hezekiah went when bad news came, he went to the house of the Lord. Went to the house of the Lord. Now, you know what amazes me, preacher? And you know what I'm talking about. People, the first place they drop when bad news, when bad things happen, what is it? It's church. I had two people call me last week, and they said, preacher, my life's a wreck. Can you help me? My counsel is always the same. My first piece of advice is you need to get back in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Do they listen? No. And they wonder why their life goes down. I'll tell you exactly why. Because they're not in the place where God can help you. Listen, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting. Where do I get exhorted? In church. I come to church. I hear the singing that's just sung. It lifts my spirit. I hear the preaching of the Word of God. And likely that sermon's the very sermon that I need for that day. Hey, I'm saying keep on going to church. I was preaching in Reno, Nevada several years ago. Sunday morning, I got to be careful about older. I'm approaching that age. You say, what's old, Brother Domley? Anything older than me? I'm 53 years of age, so that my church has to, what's old, 54? Well, what happens when you get 54? 55. I'll be 99 years of age. What's old? 100. But anyway, you have to. But I was preaching in Reno, Nevada, and a husband and wife were sitting here on the front row. That afternoon, the man had a heart attack and died. That night, she was back in church. Monday night, in church. Tuesday night, in church. Wednesday night, in church. You say, but she was grieving. Yeah, and the best place to grieve is in church. Amen, preacher. Good preaching right now. We run from the place that can help us, and then we wonder why we go into depression. Well, I'm depressed because you didn't come to church. Where do you get your exhortation? At church. Just a couple weeks ago, my Spanish pastor, Brother Dan Flores, his brother suddenly passed away on a Thursday. He was shaken. I said, Dan, I said, now's the chance to prove to the Spanish church that you're real. I said, you better be at soul winning on Saturday. I said, you're trying to get your brother down to Southern Texas. He's laying in a morgue. You're not going to do anything but sit around a house. I said, you go soul winning. I said, tell you what, you go soul winning with me. Let's see what God can do. That day, God was good to us, gave us 3 souls to see saved that morning while going out soul winning, Brother Dan. And interesting enough, one person I ran into had just lost another loved one. I said, you need to hear Brother Dan's story. You see, you don't understand. Sunday morning, he was in church. He preached that Sunday morning. Sunday night, he was in church. Hey, you say, why? Because the best place to go in the tragedy of life is not to stop church. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, hey, keep going to church when tragedy happens. Do you realize by going to church, you get exhorted? By going to church, you're obeying God. By going to church, you learn how to deal with life situations. Listen to me. I'm saying keep going to church. Man, I wish I could get that one down. Because I go and I try to help people and I try to help people and I try to help people. And I say, get back in church. And they say, my life's a wreck. It's because you're out of church. But preacher, I have all these bad things happen. Well, how do you expect to turn them around? By sitting at home instead of being in church where you're commanded to be. My assistant pastor, Brother Sandy Harjo, lost his son several years ago. Brother Harjo's now in his 60s. His boy was, I think, 6 years of age when his boy drowned in a pool in the backyard. He told me, he says, the first place I went on that next Sunday was in church. He said, I was told, my pastor told me not to do any of my bus routes and any. He said, I just need to sit in church. He says, Brother Domley, he says, I know my pastor meant well. But he says, I needed that bus route that morning. I needed my son to teach my Sunday school class that morning. He says, that had been the best medicine for me if I'd have just kept on doing what I was supposed to. But he went to church. Went to church. See, preacher, but preacher, something really bad's happened, okay? It'll still be really bad after church, but you'll be really bad with the help of how to deal with the really bad. I don't know how long your preacher preaches. How long do you preach? 2 hours? That's why you're all excited about me coming, because you know I don't preach that long. But anyway, I don't think your services go that long. 45, 50 minutes. Church is probably an hour and a half. Best hour and a half you can have when you're going through heartache and tragedy. Young person, you listen to me. Drugs is not the answer. Go to church, that's the answer. Alcohol's not the answer. Well, I need to drown in alcohol. No, you need to drown it in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what you need to drown it in. Heartache comes. Tragedy comes. Uncertainty comes. What do I do? Keep going to church. Second, can I say this? Run to the Lord. Run to the Lord. You know, Hezekiah's response, get this now, was not to run to social media. It was run to the Lord. I'm so sick of social media and everybody going to social media and having a bad day. And you know what they're wanting? When everybody feels sorry. What's going on social media telling everybody you're having a bad day going to do for you? The only thing you want is somebody to cry over you. Somebody help me out. And that's not what you need. You need to get to the God. Hezekiah said, okay, I can't change it. Talking to my friends can't change it. Only one that can change this situation right here is my God in heaven. He's the God that created this world. He can change this thing. Hey, I'm going to run to God. That's what Hezekiah did. Now get this. I seriously doubt you'll be running to the Lord if you're not running to church. How often have we come to church in tragedy and come down to this altar and shed tears on this altar? You sit in your house. You say, but preacher, this thing is beyond my control. What do? I feel helpless. You're not helpless. You have one thing that you can do that's greater than anything that you can physically do, and that is you can get on your face before Almighty God and say, God, this is true. What's going on? That's all Hezekiah did. He said, God, what this king has said is true, and God, I need your help. God, only you can change this. And I'm saying you can go to God and say, God, what I'm facing right now is true. It's not wrong. It's the exact truth. The tragedy's here. The heartache's here. But God, I need your help. Hey, run to the Lord. Instagram's not going to help you. TikTok's not going to help you. Snapchat's not going to help you. Somebody help me out. Twitter's not going to help you. Facebook's not going to help you. Tragedy comes. Your first response ought to be, okay, run to the Lord. And what? Three, pray. Pray. He ran to the Lord, but he didn't just run to the Lord. There's times I don't mind going to God and his word and searching the word. When people go through tough times, I always tell them, run to the book of Psalms. Spend time, massive amounts of time in the book of Psalms. But you better spend time in prayer to God and say, God, I need grace for my spirit right now. God, I need your help right now as I'm going through the tough times because, God, I don't know how I'm going to face the tomorrow, but, God, I need your help. Oh, God, can you help me right now? What do? When tragedy happens, one, keep going to church. Second, run to the Lord. Third, pray. Fourth, listen. Listen to your preacher. This is what bothers me. And your pastor knows exactly. Now that I'm a pastor, I see some of the other side that I knew it was there, but now you experience it firsthand. We as pastors sit and say, I wish they would just come and ask my advice. I could help them. I'm telling you. I watch people going through heartache. I don't impose myself on my people. I want them to come to me and say, preacher, I need your help. But let me tell you when most of the time they come to us. Come on, preacher, help me out. It's when their life's a wreck. And the preacher's sweeping up the mess. Come on, we got another mess over here. Just sweeping up. the mess. We got another mess over here, preacher. Boy, I wish these people would listen to me. Boy, I wish they would come to me. God gave them a pastor to help them out. And too many times a preacher's running around with a broom. And we don't mind this. We'll do this. But can I tell you, why get to this? Avoid the mess. Come to the preacher and say, preacher, I'm in a mess right now. Bad news is happening. Tragedy has happened. And I don't want you to have to use this preacher. Can you help me? Most of our ministry, you listen to me very carefully, a lot of our time is spent doing that. And every time he's doing that, on the inside, he says, boy, if they'd have just come to me before, I could have helped them to avoid that. Am I right? Well, I could, if they'd have just swallowed their pride. Say, preacher, I don't know everything, and maybe I'm doing everything right, but I just need to know I'm doing the right thing. But most of the time, we wait until our life is a wreck, and we come to the preacher. Say, preacher, can you put us all back? Can you sweep up the mess of my life? I've got a mess. Can you help me? And you know what the preacher tells you? Well, first you need to start going back to church. Then you need to run to the Lord in the scriptures. Then you need to pray. Then you need to repent of any sin that you've been doing. Then you need to get involved in soul winning. Most preachers are janitors of lives, sweeping up the mess that people could have avoided had they just come to the preacher and said, preacher, can you help me out? You see, the silence right now tells me I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because I'm telling you, so many times I see people going through hard times and I just sit there. Brother David, I say, if they just come to me, I can see it. It's right there. It's right there. Because we're looking from an outside viewpoint. We are a man of God. No, we don't know everything. But we are God's man. And God does use the preacher. And the fact that God does use the preacher, he gave him to you to help you stop avoiding the preacher. You said, but preacher, you don't understand. He's preached against what caused the mess. That's not the point. We'll still help. The only reason why we won't run to the man of God, because Hezekiah ran to the priest and said, what do I do? I need some help. I'm king, but I need some help. You know what the preacher said? You need to go to the house of God. You need to run to the Lord. You need to pray. And he says, and you don't need to change anything that you're doing. Preacher, what do I do? Bad news comes. Tragedy comes. What do I do when that bad news and tragedy happens in my life? I'm saying, number one, I'm saying you keep going to church. I'm saying, number two, run to the Lord. I'm saying, number three, pray. I'm saying, number four, listen to your preacher. Listen, he can't help you if you don't run to him in the troubled times, and you're wasting someone that God has given to you to help you. What do I do? Number five, trust the Lord. Trust. I was reading Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the famous Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, this is the phrase, and he shall direct the path. That's what caught me. You know why God says trust in the Lord? Because I don't know where the path is, so I have to trust him that does know where the path is. Let me illustrate. Brother Mark, come here. Yeah, yeah, way back there. Come on. Take that tie off, would you? Brother David, tie that thing around his eyes so he can't see. Yeah, yeah, that pink tie. Salmon tie. Salmon tie. You trust me? You don't know now? Okay. You know what trust is? You can't see. Turn around a couple times. Stop. Trust is this. Start walking forward. Stop. Turn left. I didn't tell you to move. Step. Take a step. One step. Don't you trust me? You're moving a little gingerly. Stop. Turn right. Stop. Go straight. Stop. Turn left. Take one step. Stop, step up, step up, step up. One more step, step up. That's trust. Our problem is this. We want to peek. God, I'm not sure. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever led you wrong? Does God love you? Does not God care for you? So then why would he do something that would cause harm to you? He's going to do something that's going to help you inside of life. You just got to trust him. Was you nervous about me loving you? When you're walking blind? A little bit, yeah. You didn't know if I was going to pull a prank on you, did you? God's never going to pull a prank on you.
That's right.
Thank you. Trust the Lord. But I can't see. That's why you trust. When God says, okay, tragedy's here. Now you just keep going to church. And I'll give you instruction in church. You keep running to me and read the Bible, and you keep praying and making sure you're doing right. You run to your preacher and say, preacher, what do I need to do? And trust me. And keep doing what you're always supposed to do. Don't you back up one step. If you run a bus route, you keep running that bus route. You teach a Sunday school class, you keep teaching that Sunday school class. You lead the singing, you keep leading the singing. You play the piano, you keep playing the piano. You pastor the church, you keep pastoring the church. It's not time for sabbatical. It's time to keep going. Why? That's how God helps us. I have no clue why God wanted me to preach this tonight. Your pastor's not told me anything's going on in the church. But I know everybody has bad news. Everybody's had tragedy. Where are you tonight? Is there a mess that you've made? And you keep on saying, I'll get myself out of that mess. Why don't you go to somebody who's helped others get out of that mess? Go to God and go to your pastor. Let us help you. I don't know. You're one phone call away from tragedy. And when it happens, a sermon like this is a wonderful sermon because the words start coming back. I tell you the story. I was talking to one of my young men last night. He was sitting in my office before teachers' meeting, and we were talking about flying airplanes. And I was telling him when I was learning how to fly an airplane, they couldn't put us into what they call a turning stall. It's just nothing more than a spin going straight down because it's against the FAA laws. But the ground instructor would drill inside. If you ever get into if you ever start going to a spinning stall, you start spins. He says, this is what you do. He says, you let go of the yoke. You apply full engine. You apply opposite rudder pedal, and you pull back. And I thought, why would he even keep on saying that? He'd say it over and over and over and over until one day I was out doing some maneuvers. I was doing what they call a turning stall. And I went just a little bit too far, preacher, and I went into a spin, just doing a spin straight towards the ground. And it was amazing. All of a sudden, those words is like slow motion happen. All of a sudden, slow motion happen. Let go of the wheel, full power, opposite rudder pedal, pull back once you straighten up. And I recovered in just a few hundred feet. Why? I listened. I listened. To some of you tonight, your life is going okay. Wonderful. I'm happy for you. But when that day comes, you'd be wise to get this type of a sermon and play it again and say, okay, this is what I need to do. Some of you tonight are going through the heartache. You're going through the struggle. And I'd advise you to come down to this altar and say, God, I'm going to keep going to church. I want to keep running to you. I want to keep praying. I want to keep listening to my preacher. I'm going to keep trusting you. I love that song. I'll just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I'll just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. You trust God, you'll be just fine. Father, a simple story packed with truth. That when bad news and tragedy happens, we know what to do in that time. God, tonight, I could probably go through this building and we could all stand up and testify of maybe hard times that we're going through. I'm asking you tonight, help your people. Help this church. That when the bad news and tragedy comes, we respond the right way. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed and no one's looking. I wonder who's in here tonight. You'd say, preacher, tonight, I needed that reminder tonight. God spoke to my heart. If you like that, would you slip your hand way up high?